All right, everybody, welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. Glad you could all make it here tonight. It's a special night indeed. We got the chili cook-off right after the service. Let's go ahead and start with our first song. You can go ahead and take out your hymnals to 410. Faith is the victory. Notice it's faith is a victory, not works. 410. 410, we'll sing it all together on the first.
Encamped along the hills of life, the Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we could be in your house tonight to hear the preaching of your word. I just pray you'd speak to us through the message tonight, that you bless Pastor Shelley, and you'd fill him with your spirit, and help us all to walk out of here as better Christians tonight. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Next is going to be 411, right next door. Shouldn't even have to turn the page. Kept it easy for you tonight. 411, hold the four.
Back to heaven by thy grace we will.
Good evening. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you don't already have a bulletin and you'd like one, just slip up your hand real quick, and an usher can come by and get you a bulletin. On the inside, we have our service and soul winning times, as well as church stats. I'm going to go ahead and get a count for the last few days of any soul winning to report for the church. Was there anything to report from Thursday? Anything from Thursday? One for Thursday? Okay, what about Friday? Anything from Friday? Nine for Friday. What about Saturday, yesterday? It looks like 14 for yesterday. And then today, I didn't even get the church van, so just give me the church van numbers too. Looks like 20 for today. So praise the Lord on that. Yeah. We got to go out before the lights go out, you know, because this is not the night to go soul winning, all right? But on the right-hand side, we have the list of expecting ladies. Please continue to pray for all of them. And our church just grows really fast when you got this many ladies that are blessed with babies. So also down below, we have a prayer list, lots of people to be in prayer for in addition to our expecting ladies. And then on the back, we have a list, or we have a couple of other announcements. We're going to do another church yearbook, and so we're going to try and start our pictures next Sunday. And so there is a sign-up sheet over here, and we'd like everyone to participate. It's obviously always completely free. Miss Lucy's offered to help take those pictures. She does a really good job. And we're going to be doing it with the wood background that's in my office. So just so that way you can think of colors or whatever. I don't know. I don't really care about that, but I know a lot of you do, and that's important. Also, we're going to do baby pictures, and the babies are babies born in 2021, okay? So we want to have all the 2021 babies in there. So January 1st, 2021, all the way to the end. And so we'll be doing that. There's a sign up for the next 2 weeks. If you miss, there will be makeups, but try to see if you can make sure to sign up on the cabinet sheet, and then make sure to be here a few minutes before your time, just so you're not, you know, Miss Lucy's doing this for completely free. So, like, you know, don't disrespect her time by signing up and then not showing up or, you know, whatever. Just try to make sure that you take that appointment seriously. And we try to get that done quickly. Also, we have our cook-off tonight. You made it. Chili cook-off. And it's a Texas chili cook-off, so you know you're going to enjoy it. And you're going to enjoy it tonight, and you're not going to have regrets tomorrow. You know, the non-Texas chili cook-off, where they put a lot of frijoles, some beans in there, you really feel the burn later, okay? But this one, you can enjoy it just forever, you know, and your spouse can enjoy it, too, with you. So, also, if you did bring a chili and you're entering it into the competition, immediately following this service, my wife will get with you. So you'll just have to go and see her and get a number and then let her know, like, which chili is which so that she can get all that signified and signed and everything. We want to have make sure we're doing the competition well. Also, we're going to have our judges sitting over here testing while y'all are fellowshipping. Don't harass them, okay? You know, and you won't even know exactly which one's which anyways, so don't try to guess or whatever. We try to keep integrity here. We will need a few extra judges. We might as well just appoint them now. So if you are not, you're not related to anybody entering a chili, and you would like to be a judge, you're above the age of 16. We got Miss Lauren, Zach, Billy, and Marcel, all right, and me. So there's your five judges, okay? And you're like, well, there's more men than women. Get used to it, okay? That's how it is, all right? So they're all Baptists. So there you go. There's your Supreme Court. We are going to have prizes awarded to first, second, and third. Do please give us a moment after the service. Just allow my wife to go down the line and get all of the chili ready for the competition. Once she's got that secured, then y'all can go down and feast and have a good time. I saw someone put beans in their Rice Krispie treats. Okay, that's fine, because that's not a Texas chili, you know? It was always a Rice Krispie treat. Now it's just a cluttered Rice Krispie treat or whatever. But it looks cool. I like it. So there you go. I didn't see, some people have falsely accused me of not liking beans. This is a false accusation, okay? I love beans. I just don't put them in my chili, you know? And they said they also didn't put any screwdrivers in the Rice Krispie treats either. So you're safe to eat it, all right? And I'm hoping as soon as we're done with this evening, I won't bring up the Texas chili thing for a long time, okay? So you don't have to worry about all these jokes anymore, all right? But, you know, the title of the sermon this evening is The Rebuke of Humor. So when people are laughing at you, you need to pay attention, all right? Also, we have two Soul-Winning Marathons, November 13th, December 9th through 11th. December 31st, we have a New Year's Eve party. We're also going to have Christmas caroling again in December, and we're going to have a Thanksgiving pie fellowship or dessert fellowship. And so I'll try to get those added into the bulletin. Please continue. If you're going to donate via check or online, just do that to Pure Ridge Baptist Church for now, and I'll continue to update you on that. We are going to have an extremely short business meeting immediately following the music, so please don't jump up. And one other thing, I have a feeling that we might have broke our record this evening. So we're going to have ice cream, but we're not going to just do it right afterwards. Basically, as soon as you're done eating chili or whatever, you can have ice cream, okay? So it's going to be a free-for-all. We got plenty of ice cream in the freezer or whatever, so you can cool down a little bit after you heat up from that chili, all right? So with that, let's go to our third song for the evening, 260, He is Able to Deliver Thee.
Again, that's 260. He is able to deliver thee.
'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world has sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able. Tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, He will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee.
While the offering plates are being passed around, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 19. That's 2 Kings chapter 19.
Second Kings chapter 19. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, and covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, to the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria his master hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned, and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, Behold, he is come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph, and the children of Eden which were in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, That which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice, and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? By thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord, and hast said, With the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodgings of his borders, and into the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass, that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears. Therefore I will put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward, and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore thus saith the Lord, concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city, to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night, that the angel of the Lord went out, and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib king of Assyria departed, and went and returned, and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adramelech and Sharezer his son smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Azarhad and his son reigned in his stead. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for all the souls that were won today. Please, Lord, fill Pastor Shelley with your spirit. Help us to pay attention and minimize distractions. Please help us apply the message to our lives. And in Jesus' name, amen.
And I want to look back at verse 21 where the Bible reads, this is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. Daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. And the title of my sermon is coming from this passage in a way, and it's really the rebuke of humor, the rebuke of humor. And we have a story where the children of Israel are going to be besieged by the king of Assyria, and he sends messengers to basically strike fear into the hearts of the children of Israel and to try to cause them to just basically roll over, just allow them to take over the city, just become their slaves. They don't want to have to fight them, so they're just basically trying to intimidate them, scare them into succumbing to their will. And so they surround them, and they're coming, and they send this messenger, Rabshakeh, is what I like to call it. He's trying to shake their faith, right? He's trying to put doubt and fear into their heart. And essentially, God is telling the prophets, this is what I think about this guy. This is what I think about the king of Assyria. This is what I think about the Assyrians. And when God is giving this word, he's not even just including himself. He's just saying all the children of Israel. He's saying the virgin, the daughter of Zion. Okay? He's saying the daughter of Jerusalem. He's saying you guys are going to laugh them to scorn. You're going to laugh thee to scorn, and you're going to shake your head at them. Meaning they're coming, they're saying, we're going to take you over, and you're just laughing at them. You're just like, you're not going to do anything. You're talking a big game. Good luck. Basically, you're just laughing back at them. You're rebuking them. And what people don't realize is that laughter, humor, mocking, jokes, ridicule, it's actually all a form of correction or rebuke. Because when you think about someone laughing at someone, what's the point of laughing at someone? It's because they're being stupid. That's why it's funny. If someone's not being stupid, if someone's not making a bad decision, if someone's not doing anything wrong, then it's not funny. The whole reason it's funny is because the person's stupid. That's the whole reason that you're laughing. I mean, if you look at a meme or something and it's making fun of someone, I don't know, let's pick a person. How about Joe Biden? Why is it that all the memes and all the different sayings that he has, why is it so funny? Because he's so stupid. Because he's so foolish. He doesn't even know where he's at. I mean, the statements and the comments that he's making that are coming out of his mouth just make no sense. They're just foolish. They're nonsense. That's why it's so funny. Because if Joe Biden got up there and everything he said just made perfect sense and it was well articulated and it was really eloquent and it was exactly right, it wouldn't really be funny to make fun of him. You know, it would basically become baseless. It would make no sense. And someone making fun of him would end up becoming the brunt of the joke. Because they're the ones that are actually being stupid. They're the ones that are being foolish. Now, in this passage, again, saying that you're going to destroy the Lord's people is a foolish thing to say. And so what happens is God and God's people laugh at that person. They mock that person. They ridicule that person. And really, they should consider that rebuke and that they should have said, you know what? I should not mess with these people. If the Lord's laughing at me, you're in trouble. You don't want God to laugh at you in the Bible. Every time God laughs, it's because he's severely mocking and making fun of people that are against him. You know, we often think of laughter as because, you know, we love a comedy, right? People love to watch a comedy show or whatever. But you're always laughing at someone being stupid is the reality of laughter in and of itself. And really what you should do is when someone's laughing at you, you should realize there's something wrong with you potentially. You know, you need to make sure, like, why are they laughing? Because if they're laughing at me, here's a question. Am I doing something wrong? Now, not all laughter is necessarily credible, or not all laughter or mocking is legitimate. So I have 2 points that I'm going to make this evening of how you need to test laughter. When someone's laughing, you need to test 2 different things. And here's point number one that you need to test. You need to test the character of the person that's laughing at you. You need to test the character of the person that's laughing at you. When God's laughing at you, you're wrong. It's just case point. I mean, it's just like, if God's laughing at you, you should be terrified. You know, that's the person you don't ever want to be laughing at you. Now, obviously, someone that's laughing, let's say the devil's laughing at you. You don't have to care. You don't have to worry about that. Because what's his character? His character is that he's a liar. Okay? So I don't care if the devil's laughing at me, but if God's laughing at me, now I'm in severe trouble. Now, let's keep reading this passage a little bit more. I know we read some of it. Let's keep reading. It says, verse 22, whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? So what is he asking? Who's the character? What's the character of the person that you're reproaching? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? So they're making fun of Jesus, is what he's saying. Making fun of God. They're making fun of the Lord. Verse 23, by thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof. And I will enter into the lodgings of his borders and into the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps? Now, when you're reading the Bible, sometimes you don't realize the shift in who's talking. But in verses 23 through 24, he's basically saying, this is what you guys said, okay? But then in verse 25, God starts speaking. And he's saying, they're coming up to this area, and they're saying, we're going to knock down your trees. We're going to knock down your borders. We're going to come in here and take over. And then God's saying, didn't you realize that I did that too? Not only have I done that before, I made all of the trees. I made everything. Because to get the full context, you have to realize when the king of Assyria comes in, he's saying, which of the gods of these other heathen have delivered them? Okay? So basically, they're basically touting their record, you know, their accolades, what they've done in the past. Like, we're 17-0, you know, or we've won every game before, or we beat all these teams before. And so they're saying, like, we're going to get rid of all your trees. And God's like, I've already done it. Not only have I already done that, I created the trees. He's like, oh, you want to brag? Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and see who has done the most here. Verse 26. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me, because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. You know what I like about God? He talks some serious smack. I mean, this is really, it's just like two opponents, like two teams, and they're just talking smack to one another. You know, it's like one quarterback's over here, and he's like, oh yeah, I can throw a football 400 yards. But you can't, you know. I can throw a football 60 yards. And God's like, oh yeah, I can throw it 6 trillion yards. And I made the football. And I made you. And I know where you sleep. And I know where you live. And I'm going to put my hook in your nose. And I'm going to drag you wherever I want to. I mean, he's just like, oh, yeah, buddy? You want to talk smack to me? Let's go. You know, God's like,
I got you. I mean, I like God. You know, he's a, you know, people there, oh, he's nice. This isn't that nice. He's nice to those that love him, okay? He says in verse 29, and this shall be a sign unto thee. So he's talking to the king and Rabshakeh and all them. He's talking to the children of Israel. It's kind of hard to figure out exactly what he's talking about at first, but he's talking to Israel now, and he's saying, this is the proof that what I'm saying to you guys is going to come true. He says, ye shall eat this year such things as grow themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards, and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall ye yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth the remnant, and they shall escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. So now he's switching dialogue again. So he's basically saying, this is how you know what I'm telling is the truth. Your guys are going to eat food this year, next year. I mean, you're going to be fine. They're not coming in here. They're not doing that. And then he talks about later prophecy. He says in verse number 32, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. Basically, it'd be like some guy saying, we're going to score so many points on you, and God's like, you're not going to score a single point. You're not even going to advance 1 yard. You're not even going to get one first down. I mean, just no points, no advancement. You don't even get to shoot one arrow. Zero arrows are going to be shot. And in fact, the way you came in, you're going exactly back out that same door. There's no opportunity for you to do anything against the people of God. And he says, verse 34, for I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went in return and dwelt in Nineveh. It came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. And here's the thing. Once God laughed at him, he should have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But instead, what happened? Huge numbers of his troops just immediately dead. He goes back home in shame. He goes back home in contempt. And it's so embarrassing that his sons even come up and kill him. Now, what should he have done? Hey, when God's people and God are laughing at you, you better fix it. You better get right really quick. And some people will say, oh, you guys are mean because you laughed at us. No. We're laughing at you because you're stupid. And if you had realized that rebuke was actually helping you, then you would have gotten right. By laughing at them, you're helping them realize they're doing something wrong. Because it's just funny how stupid they are. And, you know, some people get really offended by that. But you know what? Laughter can be good. Go to Job chapter 29. You ever bring up an idea and a whole bunch of people laugh at you? Like, that was a dumb idea. You know what they did? They helped you. Because you were going to say that stupid thing to somebody else. But after you brought it up and everybody made fun of you, you're like, I'm never bringing that up again. You know, you're like, I think the earth is flat. And everybody's like, what? I kid you not. I was talking to an attorney, and I was trying to describe to him that there was somebody that I knew that was a flat earther. And he's like, what do you mean by that? And I'm like, they believe the earth is flat. And he's like in a spiritual sense? And I'm like, no, like the shape. What do you mean the shape? And I'm like, they think it's like literally a flat plane. What do you mean? Like he just couldn't figure it out. He didn't believe it existed. And look, I didn't think that was even real. There was a point in my life I didn't realize that people were actually like that. I thought it was like the flying spaghetti monster or something. Where, you know, it's just an obvious troll or people are just being stupid on purpose just to like be funny or whatever. And like then you find out people really are like that and you're just like, wow. But you know what helps that person? Laughing at them, making fun of them, ridiculing. Whenever you have this weird idea in your mind and people start making fun of it, you're like, oh yeah, better not think that or say that out loud. Why? It's helping you. The rebuke of humor. And you know what? Rebuke is good for us. And you have to consider this, the character of who's laughing. There's certain people that if they're laughing at you, you better be careful what you believe. Now, let me show you an example of this, not just God. Let me show you another person. Job chapter 29, look at verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. Now, what you understand about Job is Job used to be the greatest man on the earth in every capacity. Everybody had respect unto him. And in the part of this chapter, he's going back and thinking about the past. He's remembering the former days. And he's saying, oh man, I wish it was like it was back in the old days when God preserved me. And he says in verse 3, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. What is he picturing? He's saying he had so much respect. People were so had so much fear of Job because he was such a great person that young people, when they saw him, they were just afraid to get in his way. They were afraid that Job would, you know, basically be mad at them for any reason. He's even saying the aged people, they stood up as respect. Now, in the United States, when you have a respectable person come into a room, you're supposed to stand for them. Like when you're in a court, you have to stand for the judge. Or whenever you have a bride coming down and it's her day, it's her wedding day, what do? You all stand as a form of respect. Job is saying, he walked into a room and people just stood up. They had that much respect for Job because Job's here. We better stand up because Job's here. And you know what? In some cultures, that's still a thing. You know, where like, I think it's in Hispanic cultures and some of those. Like, you know, when someone, like an elder, an older person that walks in that is a respectable person, everybody has to stand up at the table. And that used to even be an American culture. It used to be that when someone would enter the room that was of noteworthy importance or something like that, you would stand at their presence for them even coming in. Look what it says in the next verse. It says in verse 10, the nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help. Saying he went in the room, it was just deathly silent because they just want to hear everything that Job has to say. And nobody else wants to speak for fear of sounding like an idiot. Now skip down. I'm not going to give you all this. Look at verse 21. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. Meaning when you're in the room with Job, you're not going to speak. You're going to let him speak because you want to hear his wisdom. He's just of so much greater importance, wisdom, and stature. Verse 22. After my words, they spake not again. And my speech dropped upon them. Now, what's cool about this is, you know, and I'll give you a tidbit. This is Jesus, too. When Jesus came, everybody wanted to hear what? Jesus speak. And when Jesus spake a parable, what happened? Everybody was silent afterwards. They couldn't speak a word. They were afraid to even ask him another question. Because some people have this, there's no such thing as a stupid question. That was a stupid statement. There are stupid questions. The Bible says to avoid foolish questions. And you know, you don't want to ask Jesus a foolish question because then he'll make fun of you. And he'll just ridicule you and mock you for asking such a foolish question. You do greatly err not knowing the scriptures. That's what he said when people would ask him questions. He would just point out how they were so stupid. And wouldn't it be funny to have the pastors of today go and walk up to Jesus and ask him questions? Because you know he would just make them look like complete idiots after everything they said. And we'd all laugh at them. And you know what they would do? They would be silent because they'd be afraid of looking like an idiot. This is what Job is like. Job is such a man of great value and stature that if he's laughing at you, you're in trouble. Look at what it says in verse 23. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they open their mouth wide as far as for the laddering. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. And the light of my countenance they cast not down. Saying when someone brought up the flat earth theory and Job laughed, they all dropped it like a bad habit. If Job's making fun of me, then I must be a complete idiot. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if I laugh at you, you need to realize you're in the wrong. Why? Because of the character of Job. If Job's laughing at you, you got serious problems. Okay? But you know what? It's a benefit. It's a blessing to be rebuked with the laughter because, honestly, it could be even worse. He says in verse 25, I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. Now, paying attention to this chapter will help you understand the book of Job. Because what happens? When his friends first come to him, they don't speak for the longest time. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed like their friends just show up and it's like forever until they... It talks about a really long time before they actually start speaking. If you look at how much time. The reason why is because Job had that much respect that nobody wanted to walk up and be the first to speak. They just got to the point where they finally had to open their mouth and say a bunch of stupid stuff or whatever. And they let Job talk or whatever. But Job was a very respectable person. And if Job's laughing at you, you're in trouble. Go to Psalms 37. Now, I don't have time this evening, and I don't want to show you every verse on laughter with God. But just look it up. Look up the word laughter. Pay attention to who's laughing. Find me a time when God's laughing, and it's a good thing. It doesn't happen. Every time God is laughing, it's because someone is being an idiot. Someone is being a fool, and he's mocking them, and he's ridiculing them. And some people are like, you have a bad spirit because you laugh at people. It's like, I'm trying to be like Christ. I'm trying to be like the Lord God. In what capacity? I'm supposed to strive to be like the Lord in every area of my life. It's not like, well, you know what? I know God laughs at people, but I don't. I'm much nicer than the Lord. You know, I'm more loving and compassionate than the Lord. Now, look, I'm not trying to give people in this room a license to just mock and ridicule every person on the planet, okay? You need to have some discretion. You know, you want to be someone that's genuinely sincere and loves people and is kind and compassionate. You know, and look, the way that you treat people is how God's going to treat you. If you laugh at everybody for every single thing they do that's wrong, be afraid when God's going to laugh at you for everything you do that's wrong. Okay, so you want to extend a lot of grace and mercy and kindness. But you have to realize if someone's gotten to the point where they have to laugh at you, maybe you deserve it. Maybe there's a reason why they're making fun of you. You know? When someone's, you know, got a kick me sign on their back and everybody's laughing at them, there's a reason. They should take the sign off. Because they look foolish. You know, you got something on your face and everybody's looking at you, you got to take the thing off your face. When your fly is down, everybody's laughing at you, pull your fly up. You know, there's a reason why people are laughing. Psalm 37, look at verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. So he's saying when evil people plot against God's people, God just laughs at them. He's like, you really think you're gonna do something against them? You really think that I'm going to allow you to get away with that? He just laughs at them. He's just like, you guys are just so stupid. People are so stupid, it just makes God laugh. God, that's the normal emotion. When someone does something stupid or foolish or says something awkward, what does everybody do? You laugh. Because that's just a normal human emotion. And that's what God is like. God just laughs at how foolish these people are. Go to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. Be afraid, though, when God is laughing at you. And we can extend this to other respectable men. When there's somebody that you have high esteem for, high respect for, someone that's very intelligent, someone that's shown themselves to be of great character, and they're laughing at you, you should be afraid of that. You should fear that when they're laughing and mocking and ridiculing you rather than sitting here and saying, ah, oh, that guy's mean. Oh, that guy's rude or whatever. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? Damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Now, let's stop for a moment. Why did they laugh at Jesus? Because they knew that she was dead, and what it sounded like to them is he's saying she's just asleep. So it was probably a normal response in a sense. And if someone's dead and you think that they're just sleeping, you're like, that's silly. Like, she's dead. It's obvious, okay, to them. That's why they laughed. Now, I'm not excusing their laughter. I'm not saying it was right to laugh. Why also are they laughing? Because they don't believe the word of God. Now, someone who does not believe the word of God, how much should I care about their laughter? Zero. Why? Because of their character. Hey, when someone doesn't even believe the Bible, why do I care what they think is funny? Everything they think is funny is stupid. It's not funny, okay? That's why the left can't meme, because they don't have any truth. That's why you look at their meme, you're like, that's true. You know, they're like, oh, do you really believe Jesus? And you're like, yeah. They think the Bible is funny because they just don't believe it. Because to them, it's stupid. But because they're stupid and it's the truth, we laugh at them. You know what? Everybody laughs. Everybody thinks things are funny. But the only thing that matters is the character of the person laughing. What are you laughing about? Is it the truth? Then that's what actually makes it funny. Verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with them, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. Hey, there's people laughing outside, but you're inside. Okay, I can think of that. Verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Lethi kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, rise. And straightway the damsel rose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Now, how would you feel having laughed at Jesus, and then you see this girl walking around? Wouldn't you feel like a complete idiot? Now, would you have wanted to laugh with those people that were laughing? No. But you know why you shouldn't? Because of their character. It was someone that laughed at the statements of Jesus. It was someone that laughed at the word of God. Why would I care what you have to say? When people are mocking the Bible, they're the idiot. They're the fool. You know, the Bible says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. So when we hear the rebuke of humor, we do have to assess the character of that humor, right? But when it's someone of high character, realize it's probably a rebuke. When it's someone that hates the word of God, realize who cares what you believe? Who cares what you have to think? You know, the Jimmy Fallons of this world, their laughter isn't even funny to me. Late night comedy is not even funny anymore because they're just making fun of things that are true. It's just like, you're an idiot. You know, the guy coming around mocking the children of Israel, mocking the Lord God, saying that they're going to defeat him, you're just like, who are you? You're going to take on God. Okay, good job, buddy. Let's go. Go to Psalms chapter 2. The Bible says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Now, here's the thing you have to also understand. Trying to convince these jokesters that you're right is a fool's errand. You know, you can't win everyone over. You know, and I think that some people just have this naive approach to life where they just think that everybody's up for grabs and everybody's, you know, if they just heard the right argument, they'd come to their side or whatever. No, really what happens is the truth just exposes who's a sheep and who's a goat in this world. And so our job is really just to expose truth to people. But once you've already exposed truth to people, there's nothing left to do. If they sound more like a goat after exposing truth to them, you need to realize they're going to stay like a goat. You know, there's nothing left to do at that point. And when you're contending with a foolish man, who's a foolish man? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why do I want to continue debating an atheist? Whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Be like, let me explain to you why your joke's bad. It's like, no, there's no point. And you're never going to convince him. You're never going to get him on your side. But this is what I really want to hit home on this. Because I think I've kind of made my point. Okay? And that's point one. I'm going to get to point two in a second. But when I'm confronted with someone doing something really stupid, okay, really foolish, and I feel like it's necessary to say something, and this is what I do, I typically make a joke out of it. Because you have two options, right? Let's say someone does something really stupid. Like, they go to Home Depot, and they're going to buy paint, and they think that the paint in the can is automatically the color that they want. They don't even have to get it mixed. They don't even have to ask them to pour into that. That's pretty stupid, right? So let's say they bring you that paint, okay? I have two options now. Option one is to be like, you're a complete idiot, right? Wouldn't that be one way to correct them? Or a second way to do it would be make a joke out of it, right? Just be kind of like, oh, really? You didn't even think, you just thought they knew exactly what paint you wanted when you showed up at the store, right? Now, which one would you rather have someone do? Would you rather someone just yell at you and scream at you, or just kind of make a joke out of it and be kind of more lighthearted about it? It's actually a little bit nicer to joke about it, isn't it? Be a little more lighthearted about it. But this is what some people don't realize. They don't realize by you making fun of them, they were correcting you. It was still a rebuke. You should still learn from it. I've noticed, though, that some people, they have this weird attitude where you make a joke about it, and then they joke back. And you're like, you didn't get it. No, I'm laughing at you because you're stupid. And I'm telling you that this is my personality. My personality is that when I see people doing stupid things or making, you know, a fool of themselves or whatever, my personality is to tend to just joke about it or to be kind of lighthearted about it and not, like, really confront it real sharp because I don't want to make them more embarrassed than they have to be. You know, it's more embarrassing to have someone just, you know, scream at you and yell at you in front of everybody rather than just kind of making a joke about it. You can feel, you can kind of recover from that a little bit easier. You're not as embarrassed when they're kind of being lighthearted with you. But you should still take the joke as a correction. You should still take the joke as a rebuke. But some people, they just can't get it. And then you keep escalating. And then it gets to a point where you just have to be like real clear with the person. You're being stupid. Quit it. Stop it. Right? I like to have fun too, and I like to joke around, but you know what? When you consider the character of the person laughing at you and joking with you, sometimes you need to back off and realize, whoa, I probably screwed up here. I probably messed up here. Maybe I should make it right, even though the person's being lighthearted about it. And I say that because I know I'm not the only person that does this. I know your boss might do this or other people, because it's more natural to just kind of like joke about it or laugh or just try to be put people at ease about it. But look, when your boss kind of jokes with you a little bit, you know what you should do in that situation? Still apologize. Correct it, fix it, and not think like, oh, he didn't think it was a big deal, he just made a joke about it. No, they still thought that you did something wrong. They just weren't wanting to make you more embarrassed than you had to be. They didn't want you to feel worse than you had to. And look, the reason why the joke was funny was because it was true. If everybody's laughing at you, and they have the right character, you got to be really careful with that. And look, maybe that's a character flaw of mine, because I'll be honest with you. My personality is not to want to confront people on issues. I hate it. I don't like it. I would let everything go. And so I was probably a defense mechanism when someone comes to me. I just kind of laugh about it or joke with them or try to explain, you know, something lighthearted or whatever. But lots of times you just have to be direct with people because they can't pick up on the clue that the fact that you're joking about it, they're already in the wrong. And so you got to be careful when people are laughing at you, when people are making a joke at you, you need to say, like, do I actually have a real problem here that needs to be fixed? Go over to Psalms chapter number 2 and look at verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. So notice, they think they're going to literally kill Jesus and win and you know, get the Lord away from them or whatever. And God's just up there just laughing. So we've already talked about one point. the character, right? When God's laughing at you, be afraid. Here's the second thing that you have to pay attention to in a joke is the content. Is the content of the joke, okay? Is the content true? Is the content true? If someone's making fun of you and it's not true, you know, what if, I don't know, I can imagine people are laughing at you like, ha ha, you're a cult! You're a cult leader, ha ha ha! That doesn't hurt me. Because guess what? The content's not true. It means meaningless to me. I don't care at all. You can call me a cult all day long and I don't care. Because I know I'm not in a cult. But I do know I'm the cult leader if it's a cult, okay? Right? But wait a minute. You know, when did I tell anybody to do anything that they actually listened? If I was a cult leader, I'd be really disappointed right now because you guys, you know, don't really listen that well. It's silly. You know, it's silly when people make fun of you and it's just obviously not true. It obviously has no basis in reality. You shouldn't care because the content's not true. But here's the thing. Why is God laughing at them? Because they are not going to be able to successfully overthrow the Lord. They're not going to take over. Look what it says in verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So in verse 4, he's laughing at them, but then he has to escalate it and he has to get real direct. No, look, the reason I'm laughing at you is because you need to be instructed. You need to learn. You need to be wise. You need to wise up. Why is he saying be wise? Because they're being foolish. Because they're being stupid. God laughs at the stupid person. Go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Being foolish is not a good thing. Being stupid is not a good thing. The Bible says to get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You know, we're supposed to strive for wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Being an idiot, you know, that's what people laugh at. Slapstick comedy. Someone just walking around, a bumbling idiot, can't talk right, can't speak right. You know, think about a lot of racist jokes. What do? They make fun of the way people speak because they say things stupid. You know, they say things foolishly or they can't pronounce things correctly. And so they make fun of it. I'm not excusing that. I'm just telling you why they laugh. And here's the thing. If every time you pronounce a word, people are laughing, fix it. I'll tell a joke, okay? And I didn't get permission, so I might get in trouble later. But me and my wife went to high school together, okay? This is before we dated. My wife would have never dated me. I was a loser, okay? But at this time, we were in class, and we were in geography class, I think it was. And we had to write these, like, essays or whatever. Or maybe it was history class. I think it was a history class or something. And she had written this paper, and she'd done such a good job that the teacher wanted to read it for the whole class. And her paper was on Buddhism, but she didn't know how to say that. So she gets up and she's reading this paper and has the word Buddhism like 20 times. It's like, Buddhism is a religion. And, you know, she says, and then people really like Buddhism. And it was just like, I'm just sitting here busting out laughing. Now, here's the thing. What does that laughter do? It helps you realize that's not how you say that word. And it sounds funny when you mispronounce it, doesn't it? Okay. My brother used to tell this joke. He said there was a bunch of people on a plane and they were flying and they ended up crashing and they were in the sea, but they found this nearby island. And so they all just kind of drift and swim and they get this island and they're just kind of seeing what options they have on the island. And then somebody gets up there and they're trying to figure out what everybody's good at. And they're kind of looking at everybody's, you know, race. And it's a very diverse plane group. You know, they have all kinds of different people. They have Hispanic people and black people and white people and Asian people. And they're telling, you know, some of the black guys that are stronger, you know, why don't you get some wood and help us to build, you know, kind of a hut or a house or something. And, you know, they're assigning different tasks and they're asking people to look around the island, see what they can find. They look some of the Asian people and they say, why don't you go look and see what supplies we have. And they just kind of pass all the tasks out. Well, after a while, they've kind of gathered and they're reconvening in this meeting. And they say, I can't find the Asian guy. And they're like, what happened to him? We got to find him. So they start going around and they start looking and they're like, you know, he was looking for the supplies, right? Yeah, we can't find him. So they go and they're looking and they find this dark cave. And they're like, this is the last one. We've looked everywhere, but there's this dark cave left. I don't know where he is. So they're like, well, let's go look. So they all get really close to the deep cave. They're creeping up. And then the Asian guy jumps out and says, supplies! It's a joke. And you say, why would you laugh? Because it's just funny how they say it, right? But obviously, if you can't say things correctly, you should fix it. Isn't that the whole point? Someone's going to call me racist after this sermon. I know it. Look, we have every nationality, Asian people, black. I love everybody. It's just funny, okay? Why was it funny? Because they mispronounced it. But look at verse 22, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. God says, because you're so stupid and you're so foolish and you won't hearken to me and you won't pay attention to my commandments, well, guess what? Whenever I punish you, I'm going to laugh at you when I punish you. I'm going to mock you. I'm going to make fun of you. What is it to mock someone? I mean, you're using their words against them. You know, and that's what God does. You're like, oh, I don't like that spirit when you use people's words against them. That's the God of the Bible. That's the Lord. The Lord is going to literally mock people while destroying them. You say, that's a mean spirit. Well, actually, that's the Holy Spirit. Welcome to the Word of God. You know, I know they won't preach that at Joel Osteen's church, but I'm not at Joel Osteen's church. I'm at a Texas Chili Baptist church, okay? Maybe we should add that to the IFB, right? Go to Psalms chapter 52, Psalms 52. What's the title of the sermon? The rebuke of humor. The rebuke of humor. When someone's laughing at you, when someone's mocking you, you know, you got to think about two things. The character of the person laughing and the content of why they're laughing. Why are they laughing? Is it true? Psalm 52, look at verse 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear, and notice this phrase, and shall laugh at him. Whoa, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. You say, oh, I don't like that attitude. Well, I guess you're not righteous, because guess what? The righteous are going to laugh and mock at all the God-haters. Everybody that laughed and ridiculed at God's people and at God, whenever we see them destroyed, the Bible teaches we will laugh at them. Now, that might make you feel uncomfortable, but I'm just telling you what the Bible literally says. I mean, I didn't write the Bible. I didn't invent laughter. I didn't invent mocking. In fact, you know what? I can only do it because God told me how and showed me how. God did it. And even says the righteous are going to do it. Go to Luke chapter number 6. We will laugh. We will rejoice. You know, and I'll tell you what. When I see people that have been persecuting my church for a long time and hating my church members look like a complete idiot, you know what I do? I laugh at them. It's funny. It's hilarious when they just are shown to be the complete moron that they are. And some people are like, oh, you're mean. I'm just trying to be righteous here. That's what the Bible teaches. Luke 6, look at verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Hey, you might have to endure a lot of persecution now, but but you're going to get to laugh about it in the future. We're going to get to enjoy and rejoice about the affliction in the future. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time of fellowship and a party. Luke chapter 14, look at verse 28. Luke chapter 14, look at verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after you have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So, you know, there's going to be some people that have a half-baked idea, a half-baked scheme, and they can't end up coming all the way to the end. They can't finish it. They didn't think it all the way through, and then we're going to laugh at them when they didn't. You're going to make fun of them and think like, oh, you really thought that was going to work, huh? Oh, you didn't really count the cost on that one, did you? Well, the Bible says. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'm almost finished. I know you're getting hungry, okay? So why bring this up? Well, you know, it's funny, the society that we live in, because the world can't take jokes anymore. Comedy has ceased to exist. Comedians are getting canceled left and right. How about Dave Chappelle? Who knows who Dave Chappelle is? I just was curious. Almost everybody, okay. Black comedian. Now, I'm not saying I like his comedy necessarily. He's pretty vulgar. He uses a lot of, you know, really explicit jokes and comedy and everything like that. But I'll be honest, I've heard some of his jokes against transgender and it was hilarious, okay? I'm just being honest, okay? You know what? They're trying to cancel him for those jokes. They don't like it. They're so mad. They had walkouts at Netflix or whatever, you know, because that's where he had his like most recent special or something like that. But here's the thing. He's laughing at you because you're stupid. He's making jokes at you because you're a complete fool. And if you would hear the rebuke of humor, you would get it right. If everybody's laughing at you, you got a problem. Now, frankly speaking, Dave Chappelle, it's not really good because of his character, though. It was because of the content. But if you say, well, Dave Chappelle, character, eh. Content, though, if it's true, you still need to fix it. Because even an idiot can be laughing at you, and it's still a legitimate rebuke because of the content. And whenever the content's true, you know, and like, the reason why something's funny is because it's true. That's why comedy's ceasing to exist in our society, because truth is falling in the streets. When you elevate truth, you elevate humor. When you attack the truth, you attack humor. You know, there's not any good comedies anymore. Used to be people would make good movies and they were funny and it was fun because of truth. Now you can't make fun of anyone because they're all bought and paid for and you offend too many people. But I'll tell you what, comedy is alive and well. I mean, if people weren't restricted, there's more jokes to pass around than you could ever imagine because there's just so many things to make fun of. Why? Because there's so many stupid people in this world. There's so many stupid ideas. I mean, Joe Biden is a walking joke. Literally, you couldn't make enough jokes about that guy. He's so foolish. And we're going to be making jokes for him as long as we can remember him. I mean, he has forgot himself, but, you know, we still know where he is. And people get mad at this. They get mad at memes, jokes, and ridicule. And the left and our government wants to get rid of memes. You know why? Because they want to get rid of rebuke. They want to get rid of correction. You know why they don't like memes? Because they don't like the truth and they don't like correction. And these people, they're stiff-necked, they're hard-hearted. And let me tell you something. People that just hate memes, there's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with people that don't like memes. People that are constantly like, oh, you guys are so mean, you like memes or whatever. Do you just not like correction? Do you not like the rebuke of humor? Because there's two options. I could just rebuke you straight up, or I could just make a joke out of it. And then it's a little bit less harsh. Because I'll tell you what, if I really screwed up, I'd rather you make a meme about it than just be super blunt. And I'm just being clear. Because it's less embarrassing than to have your boss just ream you or scream at you or yell at you. You know, it's better to just have them kind of laugh about it, and then you can just kind of laugh and be like, I was stupid. That was foolish, you know? And then you just move on. You just realize, like, I've done, who's done stupid things and you laugh at yourself, right? You've done foolish, yeah. That's the right attitude. When someone's making fun of you because you're stupid, laugh and then fix it. Don't be like, eh, you're so mean, you're so rude. Oh, I don't like jokes. I don't like memes. Eh. You just seem like an idiot then. Idiots don't like memes. There, I said it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. You know, if someone ends up making a joke about you or ridiculing you, notice how the Bible describes it. It says in verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter anyways. Because it gives you an opportunity to get better as a person. And it's saying, hey, by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Meaning by you having to go through hard things, by you being made fun of, by you being ridiculed, you become a better person. You know, and I've worked for bosses where when you screw up, they make fun of you every time. They call you stupid, they laugh at you, they joke at you. But you know what? Once you start getting better, they can't laugh at you as much anymore. And you should realize that laughter can be a good tool to make you a better person. Don't resist laughter. Don't resist someone being able to make fun of you. Don't resist these things because it can help you become a better person. The person that rejects humor, that rejects the rebuke of humor, is going to be a bad person. The person that embraces the humor, embraces the joke, that is going to bless the person. The Bible says, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. You know, and rather, and when you're stupid, you should want your friends to make fun of you. You know what you don't want your friends to do when you're stupid? They're just like, you're just such a good guy. I can't believe those people that made fun of you. They're so mean. I'm telling you what, if someone's stupid, you should hope that your friends make fun of you. And when your friends make fun of you, you should say thank you and laugh with them rather than just having this really bitter attitude, bristle at it, and just get so offended and be like, I just want to be around people that just tell me I'm great all the time. That person hates you. That person's not your real friend. They're just flattering you. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God. Thank you for laughter. Thank you for humor. Thank you for allowing us to just be able to make fun of ourselves at the stupidity that we have. And I pray instead of getting offended at jokes, that we would just embrace the truth of the jokes. We would consider the content and the character, but when we realize the joke is true, we just fix it. We don't get so offended that we are able to enjoy our lives and laugh about the silly things and laugh about the foolish things and not look at it as this just mean, evil, wicked spirit, because we know that you laugh. We know that you mock. We know that you ridicule the fools of this world. And I pray that God's people would get a sense of humor and they would realize the benefit and the blessing of the rebuke of humor. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and sing one more song before we dig into that chili there. We'll say a prayer right after the song. I believe there might be a meeting too. 259, Jesus Saves. Song 259. Song 259, Jesus Saves.